Mishnah Yomi for the 10th of Nisan is in chapter 5 of Eduyot, Mishnayot 6 and 7. 5, 6, 7, Akavya ben Mehalalel. He's one of the famous, we'll see, personalities in Mishnayot times. Heyder Badvarim, he testified to four things. We say testified, we mean this was his Mesorah that he heard from the Rebbeim as being the normative halacha in that prior generation. Amru Lo, the sages of his time said, Akavya, Hazur Becha, please retract Bar Devarim, these four things that you say, that your teacher said, because this is not the normative halacha anymore. Shaita Omer, that you were espousing them as the normative halacha, V'noscha Av Bezdin Israel, and we will appoint you to be the chief of the court for the entire Jewish people. So the sages were trying to avoid this machlokis, this fact that Akavya was saying over these four halachot from the previous generation and saying that they were the agreed upon opinion in the previous generation. And they were saying, let's try to avoid the conflict and we'll even give you a great job with job security. Amar Lahan, he replied, Mutav li, it's better for me, lehikare shota, that I get called an idiot Kol Yamai, for the rest of my life, lo le'asot sha'achat rosh lifnei machem, and I won't be for a moment a sinner against Hashem. He was saying it would be a horrible thing for him to go against the teachings he heard from his own Rebbeim. Shlo yu omrim, that they shouldn't say, bishvil sorora chazar bo. People shouldn't say it was because to be appointed to a high position, that's why Akavya retracted. So what were these four opinions that Akavya was espousing that he heard from his own Rebbeim? Hu haya metame sar hapekuda. He would declare impure a tsarat spot where there was a pre-existing hair. So we're going to see all about this in Masechet Negayim, don't worry. But basically, if there's a white blotch on the skin, then it's a possible mitzora. And he goes into quarantine. If the blotch gets bigger, changes in certain ways, or grows two white hairs inside, he is a confirmed mitzora. So what if he was a confirmed mitzora with the white hairs in the blotch, and then the blotch goes away? But then the white spot comes back, and the hairs are still there. So according to Akavya, that is actually tame as a metzora again, even though these are pre-existing white hairs. Vidam hayarok, also blood that is yarok. Now yarok usually means green. In ancient times, it means yellow. And there's some suggestion that the ability for the eyeball to distinguish between shades of yellow and green has changed over historical times. But in any event, yarok here means yellow. And the Rosh and the Mefarshim say really it means a dark yellow, like an egg yolk color, or even like a golden yellow. So he says if a woman sees that color blood, it would be declared nida blood, which is tame, as we recently talked about. Chachamim mitarin, the sages say these items are both considered pure. The pre-existing white hair could not make a new mitzora condition, and this dam yarok, this yellowish blood, was not considered dam nida. Now the third dispute is about a bechor. Now bechor is a firstborn animal. If it gets, it's supposed to be a carbon in the temple, but if it gets a mum, a blemish, it can be given to a kohen to actually eat it in his backyard. But it can't be used for work or for shearing. So what if the sheep is actually shedding hairs? Hu haya motir sar bechor bal mum shenashar. Akavya brought the opinion that it was mutter for a kohen to keep these hairs that fell off a firstborn animal, it was a bal mum, before it was slaughtered. V'inicho b'chalon, he put them in the cubby under the window, you know, kept them safe. V'achar kach shchato, and later on, the kohen slaughtered this b'chor bal mum, this firstborn animal with a blemish, and ate it. And at that point, not only is the hair on the animal considered usable by the kohen, but even these hairs that fell off would be usable. Chachamim osim, the other sages say, no, you should not do this as a rabbinical restriction, because we don't want people leaving a b'chor bal mum around for very long. It's mutter for him to shecht it and eat it and then use the hair that's on it. But if he keeps it around a long time, he might be tempted to shear the animal, which would be forbidden, or use it for work. Now the fourth machloket is about which women are eligible for the sota process, as we learned all about Masechet Sota. Hu haya omer, Kavya would bring the opinion, ein moshkin lo atigyoret, we do not give the sota test to a woman who converted into Judaism, and not a Shifcha Kananit, who was then freed and became fully Jewish. As we said, an Eved Kanani and a Shifcha Kananit, they're already quasi-Jewish. They have to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and a lot of mitzvot. Then when they are freed, they become fully Jewish. So one of these women married a nice Jewish boy, and now there's a suspicion that there was infidelity after she was warned. So he says, brings the opinion, she does not get tested as a sota. But the other sages say, no, she could be given to drink the sota portion potion to test her. Amrulo, and the sages said to Akavya, Maise Becharkamit, there was a woman named Karkamit, or from there, Shifcha Mishachreret, and she was a freed Shifcha, Shahaita Birushalayim, she was in Yerushalayim, Vishkuha, they gave her the Sota test, Shmaya Vevtalion, the Gedolei Hador at that time, the ones in charge of the court at that time, allowed this, basically a convert, to take the Sota test. Amr Lahem, Akavya replied, Dugma Hishkuha. They did that as an example. This could mean a number of things. It could mean since Shmaya and Avtalion themselves were descended from converts, they wanted to include converts among the general populace for all halachot. Or it could mean they were setting an example to other women to not be unfaithful or be suspected of infidelity, but it wasn't truly a test of sota waters themselves. The Mishnah brings the result of his unwavering dedication to his Mesorah, Niduhu. The other sages put him in nidui, in a ban. Umet ben niduyo, and he died while still under his ban. He did not retract from his position. Vesoklu beit din et arono, and the court then stoned his coffin, which we'll see does not mean throwing rocks, God forbid, at the coffin of a sage. It means they put a rock on the coffin so people would realize, yes, you can come pay respects at the funeral, but he did not, he did not retract his statements. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Chas v'shalom. He says, God forbid. Akavya nitnoda. It wasn't Akavya ben Mehalolol, the great sage who was put into a ban. She'ein azor ninelet. The courtyard of the temple was not locked. Bifnei kol adam, in front of anyone, mi Yisrael, from the Jewish people, b'chochma v'yira, but with wisdom and fear of God, yirat chet, fear of sin, be'akavya ben Mehalolol. It means when they went to do Karban Pesach, they would do it, remember, in three shifts. You remember from Mishnah Pesachim, they do three shifts, and they would lock the doors on each shift. So whenever he was in there in the Azor, there was no one greater than him in wisdom and Yirat Chet. So even if he hadn't retracted his Mesorah, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, the Beis Din, the other authorities, the other rabbis, certainly would not have done this to him. Et mi nidu, so who was the person that they actually put in the ban? Elazar ben Chanoch. It was someone else. It was this guy Elazar. Shepikbek betarat yadayim. He made fun of the rabbinical enactment to wash your hands, as we wash our hands before hamoti, before eating bread, as a remembrance that the kohanim need to be pure before eating truma. And this Elazar was mocking that, and he was the one who was put under ban. Ukashemet. When Elazar passed away, Shalhu Bezdin, the Bezdin sent Vehinihu Evan Olarono. They put a stone on top of his coffin so people would know about this. Milmedjikul Mitnade Met Menidui, anyone who was banned by the sages and died without retracting and repenting and apologizing, Soklin et Arono. They would put a stone on his coffin so people would know. Now, Mishnah Zayin explains what actually happened to the actual Akavya ben Mahalalel, Bishot Mitato, when he was about to die, Amar Livno. He says to his son, Bni, my son, Chazur Becha, I want you to retract Be'arba Devarim Shaiti Omer. These four things that I was so staunch in upholding, that I heard as a Mesorah from the previous generation, I want you to agree to the majority opinion. Amar lo, the son says to Akavya, Lama lo hazar tabach, why didn't you retract yourself then, if you're asking me to retract? Amar lo, ani shamatim pi rubim, says, when I was young and in yeshiva, I heard these halachot in the name of the majority. I heard they were the majority opinion. Behem shamu mi pi rubim. And the other side that disagreed with me, they heard also from a lot of different halachic opinions. Ani amati bishmati, but I stood firm on what I heard from my teachers. V'hem amdu bishmaton, and they stood firm on what they heard from multiple opinions. Aval ata, but for you, you weren't in yeshiva with me in the last generation. Shemat b'pi yachid, you've heard these halachot as being authoritative only from me, not from the majority. B'pi amrubin. And the other side, you've heard a lot of sages espousing the other side of the coin. Mutav l'chaniach divrei yachid, it's better for you to leave our family tradition that these halachot should be like I'm saying from the name of my sages, l'chaz b'divrei rubin, you should go after the current majority. Amar lo, Abba, the son says to the father, Pakod olai l'chaverecha, would you please instruct your friends in the yeshiva? They should take me in the yeshiva. He was a little worried as the son of someone who was a bit of an outcast, even though he was not banned, not in a nidui, but he was somewhat of an outcast halachically. He was worried that they wouldn't take his son in the yeshiva. Amar lo, eini mevaked. He says, I'm not going to ask you to, you know, for admission to the yeshiva. Amar lo, shema, avlo matzal tabi. The son says, maybe there's something wrong with me. Amar lo, Akavia says something amazing. His love, he says, there's nothing wrong with you. But he explains, Ma'asecha, your own deeds, yikarvucha, are going to bring you close to the scholars. Ma'asecha yirachakucha, or your own deeds could distance you if you're not worthy. So what he's saying is, we have a strong family reputation. We have a reputation for being having chochma and yirat het. You can't always rely on your reputation. You have to make a name for yourself. And sometimes we're raising our children, you know, we might try to push minhagim and customs and values that were good for us. They might not be as good for our children. We need to encourage our children to have the strength and the yirat shamayim and the chokhmah to forge their own path through life. That's really Akavia's last message to his son. Yishar kochachem, tizku l'mitzvos.